yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Former cricketer Imran Khan was sworn as Pakistan's new prime minister during a ceremony in Islamabad on August 18. In his first speech as Pakistan's prime minister a few days after, Imran Khan gave a wide-ranging address in which he announced reforms targeting corruption.
हम एक task force बना रहे हैं, वो अभी मैं उसका ऐलान करूंगा कि जो पाकिस्तान के पैसे चोरी होकर बाहर गए हैं मुल्क से, हमने पूरी एक हाई पावर टास्क फोर्स बनानी है, हमने ये पैसा वापस लेके आना है पाकिस्तान, जिन लोगों ने मनी लॉन्ड्रिंग की है.
He had already promised a country distinguished with meritocracy and accountability and not corruption and nepotism. Plagued with corruption, Pakistan has been fighting to get its shaky economy back on track. But the situation is disappointing on many fronts.
There is a general consensus among independent economists that Pakistan's economy was never in such a bad shape as it is in today. So our budget deficit is out of control. Our balance of payment is in a very difficult phase. Economy is not growing at an average rate of less than 4% in the last one decade. Jobs creation has become a challenging task. It is governance is an issue. Corruption is an issue. So there are many, many challenges that the new government will face.
Pakistan's rupee has been losing its value, and its foreign reserves have fallen to about half in just 1 year. The country is now in urgent need of about $3 billion in funds to avoid default on loans from the IMF, the World Bank, and China. Given the ailing economy, the new government is expected to knock again on the IMF's door. That is why Khan has claimed that he won't go to the IMF. At home, critics are unhappy with the country's addiction to bailout packages. They say the IMF's austerity measures have prevented Pakistan from growing or making real reforms. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has warned the IMF not to give the loan package if Pakistan is going to use it to repay Chinese loans.
Make no mistake. We will be watching what the IMF does. There's no rationale for IMF tax dollars and associated with that American dollars that are part of the IMF funding for those to go to bail out Chinese bondholders or China itself.
In addition, Washington said earlier this year that it would freeze $2 billion in security assistance to Pakistan until it takes action against the Taliban and the Haqqani network. Afghan insurgents, the U.S. says, use Pakistani territory as a haven. The White House has also threatened to take further punitive actions, including declaring Pakistan a state sponsor of terror. Khan had previously talked of the need to talk to the Taliban, which has been increasing the amount of territory it controls in Afghanistan. He once said he wanted to implement a policy of open borders with Afghanistan, like in the EU.
Donald Trump does not understand. He does not understand the history of Afghanistan. Afghanistan has a history where they do not accept foreigners. They have always resisted foreign invasions. And if he had even drawn any lessons from the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, before that, the British in the 19th century, their invasion of Afghanistan, he would know that this military solution, which Donald Trump also has tried, is going to fail. The only solution, the only way to bring peace in Afghanistan is all the neighbors to sit together and then come up with a political solution. There is no other solution apart from that.
The relationship between Pakistan and the United States is expected to get even worse, as the new prime minister has established his reputation as an anti-American politician. Before the election, he was an outspoken opponent of drone strikes in Pakistan's tribal areas and called for the country to be less reliant on the U.S. economically.
The damage done to Pakistan in participating in the U.S. war on terror has led to almost 70,000 people dead. It has devastated our tribal areas, the border areas, where half of the population, we are talking about 3 to 4 million people, were internally displaced. And the loss to the economy is over $100 billion. So this small aid has been very costly. And the lesson learned from Pakistan's point of view is never, never fight someone else's war. And people like us always opposed it.
Khan's party, Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, the PTI, has long been after ending the country's alliance with the U.S. in the so-called war on terror.
We are not in the U.S. war on terror. Our fight against terrorism will be based on our national interests. We will not do what at the U.S. bidding. We will do what is in the interests of Pakistan. There will be no one-way street of do more, and them taking not doing anything for us.
Political observers believe that the souring relations between the two countries would push Islamabad closer to China, with which it has major trade agreements.
We now know that Pakistan is increasingly embedded with China. China is investing billions in Pakistan in something called the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. So this will push Pakistan further into the arms of Beijing in a way that's going to be at the detriment of Western powers. In addition to that, of course, Pakistan has been providing some counterterrorism cooperation. It's been allowing drones to fly over Pakistani airspace. It's rolled up some Al-Qaeda networks. It allows the CIA and other intelligence agencies to operate on Pakistani soil. So from going from a little bit of cooperation, you could get no cooperation. So there are risks entailed in this. Previous presidents have always hoped they could turn around Pakistan's behavior. But I think with Trump, we're finally seeing a disillusionment sink in and a sense of conviction amongst Congress, amongst the administration, the White House, that it's too late. We simply have to now use more sticks because the carrots just haven't worked.
The China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC, is Pakistan's most important national project to boost the country's economy. The two countries have worked together on this project to build railways, roads, and maritime links. Shortly after Imran Khan won the election, China reinforced its alliance with Pakistan by offering the country a $2 billion loan. Most analysts agree the country's financial dependence on Beijing is likely to prevent any kind of major shift from Khan on how he deals with China. While many in Pakistan have pinned their hopes on the former cricket superstar to save the troubled country, some argue that the one who runs the show is not the prime minister, but the military. The biggest question about any Pakistani government is how much freedom it'll have to operate under the military's close gaze. The armed forces are set to run over 50 commercial entities worth over $20 billion to be the biggest conglomerate of all business in Pakistan. The upside of this story is Khan's good relations with the army that could ease pressure on him to bring the necessary changes on the economic front. Imran Khan is not the first Pakistani prime minister to inherit a nation rife with corruption, economic woes, and security threats. As a cricket player, he left a legacy to be proud of. Can he do the same in the political arena?